Off the Ball with live coverage of Ulster versus Bordeaux this Saturday on News Talk 106 to 108.
We've got an interview with Chris Waddle on the way this evening, but delighted to say, firstly, we've got Sean Cronin on the line today. He's been helping to launch Ireland's very first mini golf open. If you want to go and get involved in Ireland's very first mini golf open, go on to facebook.com/rainforestadventuregolf. Sean, you're very welcome. Were you big into the mini golf yourself when you were young?
I was back in the early days when I moved up here to Dublin. Me and the lads used to go, but the forfeits were getting out of hand, so we kind of had to can them in recent years. And lads getting married and having kids has kind of put stop to it as well. But
you don't want to ruin lives with those forfeits, you know.
I know.
I saw CJ Stander and Peter O'Mahony, the Sky cameras. I don't know if they meant to catch them or not in the dressing room kissing to make up in front of the whole dressing room after the win over Glasgow. Eddie O'Sullivan last night informed us that that's a time-honoured tradition in rugby circles, the make-up kiss in front of the team.
Yeah, hilarious when you're not the one involved. awkward when you are. But it's funny the stuff that they catch these days.
I was looking actually, I didn't realise this, if we're talking about, you know, other sports, that you were a minor for the Limerick Footballers back in 2004.
I did. I tried my hand at it. I used to play a lot of mostly football, because a big footballing club, Mount Lean and Limerick City. So I tried my hand at it. And like we were talking about Chris Waddle there, I was a left peg myself. So I admire a good left peg when I see one.
Well, there is something about lefties, the way they kick a ball.
Yeah, I know. Not too graceful, but.
Well, I don't know. I think a lefty is a sweet strike. I think a lefty can be graceful. I mean, I haven't seen you swing a left at it, so I don't know. But you scored 2 points from wing forward, just to let people know, winning a senior football medal with Monaleen in 2005.
Yeah. I was pretty big into it growing up, and then I kind of, as I got a bit older, and then I was in the academy in Munster, it was make or break, which I wanted to follow, and I just took the rugby at the time. And but I loved the Gaelic football, going to matches and all that, and following hurling as well. So it'd be a big side interest of mine.
Right. Was that a no-brainer decision when you made the choice to pick rugby over GAA, or was there a bit of back and forth?
It was tough at the time, right. Because I was going, you know, Mount Lean's a strong senior club in Limerick, and was getting into a few panels with the senior side, Limerick as well, but I was doing well with the rugby in school and getting into the academy in Munster, so that was, I'm playing senior rugby with Shannon, so it was a tough choice at the time, but delighted I took the rugby.
It's worked out okay.
Exactly.
So, very sorry to hear about the injury. You pulled your hamstring, you're out for 10 weeks, was the report?
Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bit disappointed last week, and I'm open around the place, so I've kind of just come around and tried to focus on, look, just get the rehab right and fix up some other little niggles and stuff I had, and maybe, you know, come back a better and stronger player in the time frame that they've set out.
Were you feeling the hamstring over the last number of months? Has it been a problem for you traditionally? Because obviously you're, we all know the speed that you have, and that can be an issue. The hamstrings can be an issue for faster players. Was it something you felt was in danger of going?
No, I've been, you know, throughout my career, pretty lucky to have stayed clear of the soft tissue injuries. I've kind of, you know, I thought I've been looking after myself well and managed to avoid those type of injuries occurring. And just whatever way I kind of went to bend down, the ball squirted out of a mall, and then whatever way I went to accelerate off my right foot,
right,
just one of those things gave way and felt like a bazooka into the back of the leg, so that was me done.
Right, okay. That seems to be a way of pulling or damaging the hamstring, actually, in rugby, the more I think about it. Like, okay, the most famous example being Paul O'Connell at the World Cup, but, you know, in Chris Waddle's sport, we often see a winger sprinting down the touchline and then pull up with a hamstring, you know, which has been pulled in mid-flight, whereas you guys bending down, that seems to put a certain pressure on it when you spring out of that position.
Yeah, I suppose it's just one of those things. I think was Paul was poaching a ball over a ruck and just got caught in a bad position. I think Rick R. Strauss was something similar as well. So, you know, you got those incidents where guys are caught in in a position on the force, then that's going through. Other guys then are taken off in a power position, and I suppose it can happen in both ways. I'm just lucky I dodged a bit of a bullet that I didn't damage the tendon, and I didn't. It's just a rupture in the middle of it, so it's pretty straightforward. I just need to get the rehab right and just not be messing around and trying to come back too early, because it's a high percentage of doing it again. So I just need to be careful.
Mm. How had you felt your form was this season?
I thought it was going pretty well. Played in a few big games, thought I played well and kind of a consistent level this year. Nothing too flashy, but pretty happy and thought I was motoring pretty well coming into the Six Nations.
Can you account or explain for the massive turnaround in Leinster's fortunes this season? Because it's not just you who's been going well. The whole side, the whole province, the whole squad, like there's so many names which we're having to kind of get used to this season in particular, it feels like. Just, I mean, in comparison with the mood music which must have been surrounding the camp last year, it's a completely different world.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. It was disappointing having not performed in the Pro 12 final last year and not doing well there. And then Europe was a bit of a disaster. And the turnaround, I suppose, this year, you know, we've been going very well in the league. And Europe's been a complete turnaround, which is hugely pleasing. I just think there's been a nice gelling of the squad, and we set out at the start of the year just you know, a few building blocks that we wanted to try and achieve going forward as a squad. And it's also been helped by a lot of good young players coming through that have their heads firmly on their shoulders, and they've added a lot to the squad along with the seasoned pros who've been there a few years. So I think that mix has kind of really added to the success we've had so far this season.
What impact has Stuart Lancaster made? Has he changed much?
Stuart came in and he got the feeling he just looked at a few of our games from last year, the big games where we probably didn't perform as well, and he's taken on a couple of things, both in attack and defence, that he felt we needed to look at. And there's areas there in our games, the games that you've seen so far this year, that seem to have improved in terms of our unstructured attack and a little few adjustments in our D, which has helped greatly. So I think that it's just gelled really nicely, I think. And then what he was trying to do last year, and Gerv and John Foggs as well, that I just think it's gelled nicely, the combination of them all working together. And it's funny how, you know, little things like that, they can just come together.
Yeah.
I think they have this season.
This summer will be your sixth year at Leinster. So you've seen very, very good times and then maybe a few disappointing times as well, not least last year and the year before. Johnny Sexton made an interesting point when he spoke to this programme. He said he arrived back and he didn't feel the culture was as strong or as good as the province he had left. Did you notice that slide?
I suppose the biggest thing that we probably lost was the winning culture, and maybe getting to finals was okay and not winning them. But I think, you know, I know that Johnny went the first year that he was gone, actually won Pro 12 under Matt O'Connor. So I think that was just the biggest thing. And I think we were just maybe finding our feet a small bit going forward with adjustments that were being made in the club. And in recent times, I think since we kind of set out our stall at the start of the year, we had our pre-season type meetings, and we wanted to set out a few things that we wanted to achieve early on the season. I think we've done that, and like a lot of senior guys stepped up as well and just said that where we need to go as a club going forward, and it's pleasing to see. I think that a lot of that's been achieved.
Yeah, and I appreciate these are not necessarily things you want to be on the radio chatting about, but I'm wondering, say for you personally, when you think about that culture day to day in training, what kind of things are you looking out for? What kind of things suggest to you that the team is in a good place?
I suppose if you're looking, you have your seasoned pros that have been there doing this for years, like, you know, Jamie and Ethan Asiwa and Johnny, these type of guys who are still in the system. But it's the younger guys coming through that, like you said, you spoke there saying that the new guys that you're mentioning on a weekly basis now, that it's just pleasing to see them come through, and it's the way that they're approaching their kind of work in the club in terms of their game knowledge, their preparation, their recovery, their nutrition, everything. They seem to buy into it straight away, which I think has been a huge thing for us to develop a good culture. And it's the small things that help you develop that. And if everyone's doing it and everyone's pulling their weight in the same way, then you know, you're going to get results.
Yeah, it's certainly working. Meanwhile, speaking of good cultures, the culture within the Ireland camp is obviously in a pretty healthy state. Many reasons you're sickened to miss out on a Six Nations campaign, not least because of what a brilliant November you had. You were on the pitch at full time in Chicago. We were at that game. I'm sure when you're coming on, you're thinking, God, I better not be part of the team that screws this up now for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, the many things, I suppose, are running through your head. But I suppose it's I've enough experience at this time, at this stage of my career of coming on in the crucial minutes in some big games in the last number of years that you just try and come on. And I suppose I knew that we were guarding the lead in the Chicago match against New Zealand and that we needed our set piece to go well, our scrum to go well. We locked out a few crucial scrums, just small stuff like that was pleasing. And Australia, we got a scrum penalty right at the end to seal the win there. So, it was good to be involved and obviously got it to, you know, I was hoping that I'd be in the shake-up to be involved again. But look, it's not going to be with the injury. I'm just hoping that the lads do really, really well, and I know that we have the squad to do it.
I think I speak for a lot of people when I say I love seeing you come off the bench for Ireland in particular, and you just add this pace and ball-carrying ability and just a bit of energy about the whole thing when you do come on and you make a real impact. And, you know, that phrase, impact substitution, is certainly applicable to you. I suspect it's one you have mixed feelings about.
I suppose I do when I don't. Really, I kind of said this a few times that look, it's not great to get pigeonholed sometimes with that impact sub. But then I think in the competitive international environment where you're vying for a spot in the squad, that it's helped me to get into the 23 sometimes, where you know, you obviously have Rory who's captain and he'd be starting, and then they'd be looking to change things up by bringing me on, and I think I offer that. So that's my point of difference, where it's gotten me into squads before. So you know, it's not the ideal situation sometimes, but then I can't be knocking it either when I think it's benefited me. So it's a bit of a 50-50 split there.
Yeah. I noticed, and this is not a very important issue, but it's just a question I wanted to ask you. I noticed that you were out with the subs, some of the unused subs after the win in Chicago doing shuttle sprints. And I was just curious. I was thinking, at what point of the game where do you enter where you don't have to do that after the game?
I think the unwritten rule, I think, is 30 minutes, I think.
Right, okay.
I'm pretty sure. I try and make sure I go out every time because I've been stuffing my face all week with the pre-match grub and getting the carbs in. But sure, if you don't get that time, the carbs, they can sit in uncomfortable places for the rest of the week, you know. So I try and get out and do a bit after every game.
Fair enough. That makes sense to me. And I guess a final point, not that you're going to be necessarily sitting around with nothing to do for the next 10 weeks outside of your rehab and watching Six Nations, because twins arrived around Christmas. I saw you make announce it on Instagram. So you got two baby boys?
Yeah, twin boys, yeah, on the 21st of December. So it's a bit of a...
What was that news like when that landed?
that was fantastic, sure.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, exactly. That's the line, anyway. it was fantastic Christmas, and we were in Holly Street's maternity hospital over Christmas. So, nice. bit of a manic household at the moment. But Claire, my wife's mum, is up for 3 weeks helping us, and my mum then is up after. So after that, I'm looking for babysitters if anyone's keen.
And they're good, healthy, loud, jumping up and down?
Yeah, everything's fantastic and everyone's well. So, you know, hopefully that continues.
Great. Well, listen, best of luck with the rehab. I guess we might see you back for a Champions Cup quarter-final, maybe, hopefully, and or at some stage this season for sure anyway.
Yeah, please God, the rehab goes well, and hopefully I'll be back the end of March.
Okay, great. Good man. Sean Cronin, as ever, pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe. Cheers.
Off the ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/offtheball.
Newstalk 106 to 108.